Yeah, I with the collegial setting, I had some experience with that. I guess there's several things that I came away with from the court. First thing would be epitomized by that insistence that I of George Edwards that I mentioned before, that we take up the issue now. I found, to my great satisfaction, the people I work with never took any case lightly. Everything was serious. They were damn serious about everything that came up applicationally. They may have had varying degrees of energy with which to tackle it, but nobody gave anything kind of a lick and a promise and sped through it and dismissed it. There was always somebody who would say, "Now wait, I looked at this with some care and I hadn't thought about it," and they would be very, very careful about what they wrote as final precedent. I think we were all aware that the Michigan Supreme Court, for 80-90% of all litigation in Michigan, is a final word. There are not many federal questions, and with the state law ranging from A to Z, from everything from abandonment, the law of abandonment of vehicles or children, down to zoning, it's an awful responsibility to have to be the final arbiter of people's disputes in a state, of any state, but in a state as large and as complex as Michigan. So it was a great, easy thing to appeal to me to know that they took everything seriously. You might disagree with the result, but they didn't treat anything lightly. I learned, one other thing that might be of some benefit, that is that in a small group of people, such as a court, a collegial court, multi-member court, particularly one where the membership doesn't change. I'm not talking about panels of the circuit court where they're all rather changing, but a court that has the same membership facing each other every day, day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. By the very nature of the beast, so to speak, there will be frictions. And usually the frictions are not so much based upon personal things, but upon, or political things, but upon a kind of observation that you'll make from time to time. You're considering a particular case, and it is approximately what you've had maybe 2 or 3 months before in principle, you think. And you will think you will know where each justice is going to come out, or where they ought to come out, based upon prior decisions. And what you find is that people don't see precedent the same way. Consistencies, personal consistency, seems to be always in question. And you find that not only in Michigan court, but I noticed that in talking to judges all over the country when I was there, and even since that time, that they always find some problem with one of their brethren who could decide Jones versus Brown 3 months before one way, and then decide McCormick versus Hare three months later a different way when it involved the same principle. The old thing about consistency, and it would trouble people. Not that they were dishonest, but that they didn't see it, or they weren't quite looking at it hard enough or something, and it would sort of trouble the members. And you'd always say, "Well, why is he doing that? It's a dumb thing, you know." And it came up time and time again, mostly because you view the particular case as one either unlike the case of before or just like it, and you don't know why the other justice is deciding the way he does, and that causes for some little friction. Another thing I learned about that kind of a close harmony decision process is that even when they were 8, and I'm sure whether it's 9 or 10 or 12 or whatever may be the number, that you change the personnel once, just take one person out, put another in, it changes the whole chemistry. That person brings to the court certain views which are shared in part by some and objected to by others. It brings a certain style, a certain personality, a certain expertise, you might call it, of things that they've done a lot of before, and they acquired a considerable body of authoritative knowledge about something. That's brought in, that changes the chemistry of the court. But in each time that it changed when I was there, the Supreme Court did, both by the leaving of Edwards, not both, but all the time, but the leaving of Edwards and the coming of Adams, and then the leaving of Adams and the coming of O'Hare, and then the leaving of Carr and the coming back of Adams. And every time that would occur, somebody would leave, somebody else would come on, it would change the temperature of the court a little bit, change the chemistry. The decisional process was affected by one person. I learned that as well.